Good morning. I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up after state and local news, a report from Tuesday's historic swearing-in of the new Boulder County commissioners, including Marta Lochemin, the first Latina to hold that position. We'll also have two regular Wednesday features, the Make Them Hear You commentary with opportunities to engage with elected officials, and local herbalist Brigitte Mars with her program Naturally. BBC headlines and commentary from Jim Hightower at the bottom of the hour. At 8:35, we'll talk with the organizers of Black in Boulder, an event that coincides with the celebration of Martin Luther King Day and looks at living in Boulder while Black, past and present. Then, just after 9 o'clock, KGNU's Claudia Craig talks with Tamara Payne. With her father, the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist Les Payne, they co-authored an extensive biography of Malcolm X. That conversation coming your way just after 9, and our day of eclectic music begins, as always, at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that still ahead, all made possible by the listener members of KGNU. Thanks, members. Up next, state and local headlines. For that, here's Jamie Sudler.
Colorado's congressional delegation was divided along party lines last night as the House of Representatives passed a resolution urging Vice President Mike Pence to take steps to remove President Donald Trump under the Constitution's 25th Amendment. The state's four House Democrats voted in favor of the resolution, while Colorado's three Republicans voted against. The resolution passed by a vote of 223-205. Representative Jason Crow, Democrat of Aurora, said that if the president and cabinet refuse to act, then they are ready to impeach the president. Republican Ken Buck of Windsor said that pressuring the vice president to invoke the 25th Amendment, which, he said, was originally intended to pass power when the president is incapacitated, sets a bad constitutional precedent. As we heard on Democracy Now!, the vice president has said he will not invoke the 25th Amendment, so the next step the Democrats are taking is impeachment. Speaker Nancy Pelosi named two Colorado Democrats, U.S. Representatives Diana DeGette of Denver and Joe Neguse of Lafayette, to the 9-member team that will prosecute President Trump's second impeachment trial. Colorado Politics reports that both DeGette and Neguse are attorneys and played key roles the first time the House impeached Trump a year ago. Colorado Governor Jared Polis said Tuesday that the state will soon announce more changes to its priority list for the coronavirus vaccine, with people between the ages of 65 and 69 and possibly others being moved up. The Colorado Sun reports the changes are in response to new guidance from the federal government, and they will also recommend giving greater priority to adults of any age with serious underlying medical conditions. Polis said those aged 65 to 69 will likely become eligible in a couple of weeks to receive the vaccine, but his office later announced that the state will release a new priority list next week and was more cautious on the timing for when the new priority group would become eligible. Dr. Richard Zane, Chief Innovation Officer for UC Health, says vaccinating people over 70 should still be a top priority because that age group has the highest COVID death rate.
And what we know is that age over 75, age over 70, is a single important confounding variable that is greater than any of the comorbidity. So it's really predominant and dominant. So it makes sense medically that we would vaccinate people over 70 first.
Polis did not answer a question about whether the new priority structure will bump teachers and other essential workers further down the list. Meanwhile, COVID-19 hospitalizations in Colorado have kept falling since the deadly surge last fall, but new cases are up for a second straight week. Beth Carlton of the Colorado School of Public Health told the Denver Post it's not totally clear why the two are moving in opposite directions. She added that new hospitalizations tend to lag behind the number of new cases, so it's possible they could rise in a few days. But Carlton noted it's possible the spread of the virus at holiday gatherings was not enough to cause a major spike. On Monday, the number of people hospitalized with confirmed or suspected COVID-19 was less than half the fall peak that occurred in early December. Boulder County Public Health reported Tuesday two new COVID-19 deaths that involved residents of long-term care facilities. The two residents were in their 80s and 90s and brings the county's coronavirus death toll to 203. The county reported 47 new cases on Tuesday. The Boulder Valley School District is moving forward with its plans to bring high school students back for in-person classes in a hybrid model. The Daily Camera reports that the school board heard an update from Boulder County and Broomfield public health officials who said they're cautiously optimistic that case numbers and other indicators are going in the right direction. The health officials said that they continue to support the district's in-person learning plans. Elementary students began attending 4 days a week in person last week. Middle school students began attending Tuesday with 2 days in person and 2 days joining the in-person classes. Next week, high school students are returning in person in the same hybrid model as middle school students. Included in the changes to help keep schools open for in-person learning is more testing for teachers and students. The district recently opened a testing site at Lafayette's Centaurus High School, as well as starting to operate the first of two mobile testing sites this week. The Colorado legislature plans to open its session today, but leaders are calling it a soft open. The Colorado Sun reports that the General Assembly plans to work for 3 days and will then adjourn until February 16th in order to limit potential exposure to COVID-19 as the number of infections continues to rise. Most work for the legislature will be on hold for at least a month, but the Democratic leaders who control the process say they need to pass a handful of time-sensitive bills to address mistakes from prior terms. The usual ceremonies and opening speeches on the first few days of the session will be postponed until next month. Security at the Capitol is expected to be enhanced because of the FBI warning about the nationwide threat of armed protests at state capitals ahead of the January 20th inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and the attack on the U.S. Capitol earlier this month. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock's administration is still at risk of allowing political favoritism and conflicts of interest to influence business deals. City Auditor Tim O'Brien recommended several changes 2 years ago to improve business deals, but Taylor Overschmidt, a spokesperson for the auditor, said yesterday that while some city departments followed that advice, Hancock's office had not. The Denver Post reports that city departments enter into contracts worth a few hundred dollars to millions for things ranging from janitorial services and construction to mental health and affordable housing. Overschmidt said that not taking action on the earlier recommendations hinders Denver's ability to deter political influence in the contracting process, obscures details on how taxpayer money is spent, and lowers accountability. Representatives from Hancock's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment Tuesday. The National Weather Service has put a high wind warning in effect from noon today until noon Friday. Today there will be increasing cloudiness with the high in the low 60s and winds gusting up to 34 miles per hour. Tomorrow mostly sunny with the high near 38 as winds continue. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
Minutes after 8 now at listener-supported community radio. Boulder County has a 3-member board of elected officials, and yesterday, 2 commissioners stepped down while 2 new county residents chosen by voters last November were sworn into office, virtually. KGNU's Roz Brown has more.
Claire Levy, representing District 1, and Marta Lochteman for District 2, took their oaths of office remotely Tuesday, stepping into seats vacated by Elise Jones and Deb Gardner. Attorney Levy is the former executive director of the Colorado Center on Law and Policy and a former state legislator. In remarks following the swearing-in, Levy said government helps solve problems people cannot solve on their own.
It can bring equitable access to services and address unmet needs that make us all better off. And that is perhaps more true of local government than any other level of government. Boulder County owns tens of thousands of acres of beautiful open space and farmland. The county is on the leading edge of efforts to stop and hopefully reverse the ravages of climate change. It's been a driving force in shifting transportation funding in the state towards equitable access to multimodal options and reducing reliance on single occupancy vehicles. And those aspects of Boulder County's work are well known and of vital importance. But what's less known about what the county does is what may be even more important. The county provides housing and human services to people whose incomes aren't sufficient to meet their basic needs. It protects children from abuse and neglect and helps support families that are in crisis. It funds community justice programs. programs, provide services for our aging population, and much, much, much more. Now, almost 11 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, with people at risk of eviction, facing food insecurity because they're out of work, and worried about whether they or a loved one will fall victim to this disease, we have an even more vivid reminder of how important local government is.
Loctaman is the first Latina to be elected a Boulder County Commissioner. Born in Ecuador, she has lived in Boulder County since the early 1990s. A former realtor, teacher, and community activist, Loctaman shared a very personal story about why she wanted to serve Boulder County.
In 2011, I took my sons to live in Ecuador to strengthen us. It was about my mental health, our family relationships, and a need for time together. I remember driving by a huge billboard and going back by again to capture the pictures of women who looked just like me. They too had their own stories of leadership. And it read, "La historia no se la cuenta, se la hace." History isn't for telling, it's for making. To the Boulder County residents, this is a pivotal moment for us locally. I will continue my work of advocating for the folks who have not been previously invited to the commissioner hearing room. I will initially be working on our internal processes, ensuring that we are accountable to you as we focus on COVID-19 and help each other with the loss and the struggles throughout our community. I will focus on housing by opening more doors for community members, climate action and sustainability by working to include all members in our renewable energy efforts, and looking critically at our agricultural commitment, our future economy, including automation, local employment contracts, and how to highlight our entrepreneur community and others. Latino and Latinx, bilingual cultural brokers, the next steps and work of equity are about to begin. I know the double time, the microaggressions, the racial violence, and extra pain that is assumed on you and is required of you to keep working right now. I will be asking for a vote on a racial equity office. My commitment to addressing financial wealth gap is connected to career planning, educational opportunities, and healthcare within our own county offices and our own Boulder County community. Being the first Latina County Commissioner in Boulder County is my response to the hate and division in this country. It's my demonstration to all women who question how far they can go in their workplace. It's for the kiddos who have single parents who are hurt by the lack of time as their family works two or three jobs to provide a path for their future, so that they can be proud of their immigrant story. This is our time, Boulder County, to come together and to do the hard work, not only of reconstruction in a pandemic, but a reconstruction of an equitable county. I am committed, and I hope you are too.
Boulder County's newest commissioners join Matt Jones, who represents District 3. Jones will serve as chair of the board this year, while Loctaman will be vice chair. For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
And a reminder that KGNU is streaming the House proceedings on the impeachment of President Trump this morning. Our stream can be found at KGNU2 on our mobile player, and you can also connect to it via KGNU's main website, kgnu.org. That's a live broadcast of Pacifica's special coverage of the impeachment proceedings against President Trump in the House of Representatives this morning. Log on to kgnu.org to stream that coverage. 19 minutes after 8 now, this is listener-supported community radio.
The current crisis has exposed gaping holes in society. On the next alternative radio, hear David Harvey on imagining a different system. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
That's tonight at 6 on KGNU. Still to come, in this program, we'll talk about Black in Boulder, an event coinciding with the celebration of Martin Luther King. And then at 9 o'clock, a conversation with the co-author of a biography of Malcolm X. Those conversations still ahead this morning. Eclectic music begins, as always, at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. Up next, one of our regular Wednesday morning features, it's Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you.
This This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. The Pentagon has released a heavily slanted timeline of events surrounding the Donald Trump-incited insurrection, or, quote, First Amendment protests. This may be an attempt to provide legal cover for Trump, Giuliani, and others who incited the violent coup attempt that left 5 dead and 56 police wounded. What did this feces-spreading, violent assault on the nation have to do with the First Amendment? It delivered a powerful message to the media by making it clear that they were next on the list to be hanged. Lawmakers and journalists feared for their lives. Some of the attackers were hunting for congressional leaders. There could have been a massacre. As none other than Kellyanne Conway tweeted, "Don't avert your eyes and don't excuse this. The more we see and learn, the worse it is. Let's be very clear." And AOC tweeted, "The officials urging for no serious consequences after Wednesday's attack on our country, including the impeachment, removal, expulsion, and or indictment of officials who aided, abetted, or incited the attack, are opening the door for it to happen again." Many local advocates saw Wednesday's attempted coup as further evidence that D.C. should be a state. To fully comprehend Wednesday's events and the potential for such chaos to recur, it's imperative to grasp just how little control the district's elected officials and its more than 700,000 residents hold over their city, and how statehood would change that. The District of Columbia's lack of sovereignty leaves its residents and local officials with few defenses in the face of organized attacks. The Capitol Police answered not to district council members or even the mayor, Muriel Bowser, who called on Wednesday's events textbook terrorism. Rather, the taxpayer-funded Capitol Police is accountable only to the federal government. Officers didn't fail at restraining the rioters early into the insurrection so much as enact the will of the president, who beckoned those rioters to the city. When Trump's supporters first stormed the Capitol, Bowser's request to send the D.C. National Guard in was ignored. State's National Guards are controlled by the governor. Not this one. The Capitol riot and Trump's role make the danger of D.C.'s reliance on the federal government woefully obvious because of both of whom he chooses to protect here and whom he doesn't. Bowser has long advocated for statehood and often accused Trump of abusing federal power in the district, and she doubled down after the Capitol attack. Quote, "Washingtonians have waited over 200 years for the representation we deserve as American citizens," she said in a statement released Wednesday. "But now we are ready to finally fix this injustice by getting statehood on President Biden's desk within the first 100 days of the 117th Congress. I'm upset that 706,000 residents of the District of Columbia did not have a single vote in that Congress yesterday, despite the fact that our people were putting their lives on the line to protect our democracy. If you would like to see statehood for D.C. or other issues around the recent acts of violent sedition, you can contact your representatives or senators." This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
Musica Mundi is Latin for Music of the World. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m., this international show spans the globe in musical styles. From obscure field recordings to new recordings of traditional styles, you'll hear music from around the world that you won't hear anywhere else. That's Musica Mundi, Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. on KGNU.
I'm Laura Veers.
And I'm Aaron Lee Tastian.
And we'll be playing from E-Town's solar-powered stage.
Music, conversation, community involvement, 100% emission-free, this week in E-Town.
Sunday morning at 11 on KGNU.
Mostly sunny along the Front Range of Colorado today, with temperatures reaching into the 60s. It's coming up on 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time for our other regular feature of Wednesdays. It's local herbalist Brigitte Mars with her program, Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to share some ideas on how we can improve our respiratory health. The lungs are said to be paired with the small intestines and correspond to the element of the alchemical aspect of our bodies, that which separates the pure from the impure. Well, breathing fresh air is a wonderful thing for our lungs. And another thing we might do to help strengthen our lungs during this time is to diffuse essential oils. All of them are immune-enhancing and antimicrobial. They are actually the immune system of the plant. So if a leaf is broken, the essential oils in the plant will actually help prevent infection or mold happening. My grandmother had 11 children in the North Country of Canada, and all of them at one time had whooping cough. And an old folk remedy she did that saved every one of her children was to put olive oil on the soles of their feet, and then put chopped garlic on the soles of the feet, and then pull a pair of not your very best socks. Within 5 minutes, the kids all had garlic breath. I've used this remedy over the years for things like asthma, pneumonia, emphysema, severe cough. It's worth revisiting some of these ancient folk remedies that people have long used to help them strengthen their respiratory health. But food is always a good place to start. I think of dark orange vegetables high in beta carotene help to protect the mucosa of the lungs. The lungs also benefit from chlorophyll, which is in all green leafy vegetables. And the pungent flavor has a bronchodilating and antimicrobial effect. So consider the virtues of things like raw garlic, raw onion, ginger, cayenne pepper, and other spices like oregano. All of these are wonderful, especially when they're used raw. One of my favorite things to eat, if not feeling well, is sweet potato with coconut oil in it or olive oil and chopped raw garlic and some Celtic salt. One mistake people often make when they take respiratory herbs like osha or L.A. Campaign or a really good cough syrup, maybe a honey horseradish syrup, is they drink water right away. And drinking the water sends it down to your stomach when you really want to feel it in your lungs. So let that cough syrup or herbal tincture settle for a while. And remember that our lungs are about expression. Always remember to express your truth. Blessed be. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
Naturally, with local herbalist Brigitte Mars, comes your way every Wednesday morning here on listener-supported KGNU. I want to remind you there are multiple places where you can get a free test for COVID-19. Boulder County Fairgrounds on Nelson Road in Longmont, 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pre-registration is recommended, although you don't have to. Also in Boulder at the Stasio Ballfields, again, 7 days a week. 8 to 5. Limited free testing available in Lyons. This is in the parking lot of the LDS Church, and that's Fridays from 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon. Again, that's in Lyons, LDS Church. Also up in Nederland at the Nederland Community Center, they offer free testing from 4 to 6 Thursday afternoons, as long as the weather is okay. And then in Adams County, free testing at Water World in Federal Heights. That's 7 days a week from 8 to 4. Again, many opportunities to get a COVID-19 test. Check your county government website if you need more details. And don't forget that KGNU has a range of COVID-19 programming archived on our website, kgnu.org. And that's also the place to access the live stream that we're currently streaming from Pacifica, the live coverage of the impeachment proceedings in the U.S. House of Representatives against President Trump, that live stream available via kgnu.org.